Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's September 29, 2022. This is Ask Us Anything. So welcome everybody, whether you're live or after the fact on the recording. And this is a informal kind of thing. We don't set up a formal container because we're not doing energetic work. At least we don't expect to. If it happens spontaneously, we'll take it. So we've got some folks here tonight already. Awesome Tanya and Jeannie and Sandrea, I see already. So if anyone has a question, feel free to just jump right in. So speak up if you'd like to ask a question. And I or the others here will be happy to help you the best we can. All right. It's been great chatting with you guys. Just kidding. So we'll just hang out until someone asks a question. That's why we're here. Let me make sure y'all can unmute yourself. Yep, unmuting is permitted. So if you don't already know how to do this, there's a little microphone icon on your Zoom window and there's a slash through it right now. Just click the slash and you're unmuted and you can talk.
Okay, here I am.
Hey, are you able to put your camera on?
Yeah, just a second. It's taking me a moment. And let's see, show video.
There you are. Hi.
Hi.
As a reminder to everyone, this is a recorded event and it will go in the archive. So just an FYI. So, Sandrea, how can we help you?
Okay, a couple of things. First thing, I want to thank you so much. I just found those little email reminders that you're giving us for the invocations.
Oh, yeah?
And it's really fun getting them, but I've noticed ever since I signed up for it, I'm remembering.
Ah,
and I'm still, yeah, and I'm still, it's enjoyable, your little poetic clips.
Ah, yeah, the couplets, yeah.
So I have two things.
Okay.
What I wanted to ask you about is, you know, so the first thing I do in the morning, I wake up and I do my invocation.
Oh, great.
When is it that you do where you call in all of your allies and guides?
Well, I do that as part of my own ritual, and I do it to set the best possible container for our Awakening Plus events. It's totally not required for invocations. When you do an invocation, okay, it creates its own sacred field automatically. So that's the whole point about these invocations. They're simple. There's no hoopla or fuss. You just say the words, and it works.
Got it. And yes, it does work.
Yeah. And if you want to add stuff to it, you can, but it's not required.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that a helpful answer?
Yes.
Okay, sweet.
And the other question I have is, oh, by the way, I really enjoyed your talk on the summit.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Planets and predictions thing?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then what I realized when you were talking about it, that when I was born, those planets were all in harmony. I have a grandchild, a kite, involving Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto. But it even involves Saturn and Mars, too.
Ooh, even better.
Yes. Oh, and it's at the early degrees. Ooh, so nice. What you're talking about, it's showing that I'm being activated now then with this grand trine that you were talking about.
Excellent.
It's going to be activating. Plus, in my chart, I really do have, what do they call it? I have a fire and air triangle that intermixes. If we give the sun a wide orb, or use...
Andrea, may I interrupt you? One thing I try to do on the Ask Us Anything calls is I try to direct the conversation to topics that might be helpful to everybody. And I'm concerned if we get deep into your individual astrology chart, it might not be interesting or helpful to the other members.
Okay. But can I just ask one question about it?
Because sure.
I don't want to get on your astrology thing because I have to give my age and I'm not willing to.
Okay.
Okay. Over the world. So since, you know, when things are heavy and hard, you tend to work heavy and hard to deal with it. When things are easy, it's easy to just get lazy. And I just wanted to ask you any invocation or any guidance you want to give me as to how I can activate all this good energy and really use it and not just get lazy with it.
Yeah. Just, you know, if you understand the archetypes of astrology, then you know each planet has a certain high side potential.
Yeah.
You know, you can just do any Google search and say meanings of planets and it's easily accessible. So just decide, okay, which of the high potentials of the planets being stimulated do I want to activate? And you just say maximum, name the potentials of the planets that serves highest good, please.
Just that's simple.
Yeah, that's the whole point about the invocations. They're simple. You don't have to make them complicated. It's an accustomed invocation, maximum fill in the blank that serves highest good, please. Yeah, just keep it simple.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Is that a helpful answer?
No.
You can't use that? Okay.
No. Well, because, you know, when you activate, we're activating, they're all waltzing around in the same degree. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one would be the planet that would most activate it and make it the best, unless I see like there's a square.
Okay, somewhere. But here's the deal. If you don't know astrology deeply enough to know the meanings of the
planet. Oh, no, I know I am an astrologer.
Okay, well, then just figure out which of the meanings do I want to activate and just in plain English invoke that meaning.
Okay.
Keep it that simple. Now, if you want to go all, planetary, you can also invoke planets. That's, you know, beyond what I usually teach with invocations, but you can just add on, okay, if let's say I'll give you an example, Pluto and the sun in aspect, okay? You could say, I call on the power of Pluto. I call on you to give me more power, Pluto, to energize my vitality, the sun.
Okay.
I asked Pluto to give it. And you could invoke it from the planet instead of your higher self, because the planets are gods too, and they are to be invoked from. So if you rather use the planets, but it's the same idea, whether you're invoked from your higher self or the planet, it's all invocation. Yeah. So try to keep it as simple as you can, and I think it'll work better.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Good question. Thank you. All righty. Who's next? Just unmute yourself and speak.
Hi there, Benjamin.
Okay. Why? Actually, give me 30 seconds. I need to grab a notepad. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. If I don't take notes during the call, I won't know how to write the notes afterward. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm curious. Hypothetically, let's say somebody is a Piscean sun, but they're embodying more of a Virgo quality. So if they're radiating off the opposite side, mm-hmm. does that mean that they're more in their shadow aspect? I'm not sure.
No, you don't. The opposite side doesn't have to be a shadow. It can be positive too.
It can be positive.
Everything in astrology can go high or low.
Uh-huh.
And if you're invoking and trying to manifest, I would definitely invoke the more high side, you know, positive potential of whatever astrological energy you're calling in. There's nothing bad about Virgo. It wants to serve. It's really good with details. It can help you promote your health. So Virgo is an awesome sign with plenty of upside.
Yeah. But would that mean that you're truly not embodying your natural radiance?
No, you can do both. I mean, Virgo and Pisces are natural partners. You can take your divine flow and serve with it. You can have inspiration come down the pike, and then you can use your mental Virgo capability to structure it in a helpful way. They're all totally compatible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good to know. Thank you.
Yeah. In fact, I've done enough astrology now. I can make every sign play well with any other sign. So there's no fundamentally incompatible signs as far as I'm concerned. There's always a way to make them work well. Yeah. Okay, good question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I wasn't expecting all this astrology stuff, but hey, lay them on me. Maybe it's because I was just writing my forecast for the first half of the coming month. Anyhow, Who's got a question? It does not have to be about astrology. And I love questions on these calls that actually the answers can be helpful to other folks too. Who else has got a question? Okay, the period of politeness has passed. Everyone else has had a chance. Jump in now. Fortune favors the bold. Well, if y'all, the rest of you came just to be spectators, then there's no more questions. We'll have our shortest ever Ask Us Anything. So please, seriously, if you have a question, ask it.
I have another question.
I have a question.
Oh, Charlotte jumped in first. You can be next, Brian. Thanks. Hey, Charlotte.
Hi. This has nothing to do with me or anything else. It has to do with the book that I've been reading for you.
Oh, my book. Okay.
Yes. And I've tried some of the links and they're not, they don't lead to anything. And I'm wondering if you've got that all fixed up.
It will be fixed in the final version. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for noting that out.
All right.
All right. Thanks. All right. Who else has a question? Brian, you want to jump back in with yours? Unless someone beat you to it. Come on in, Brian.
There we go. I thought it unmuted, but it definitely did now. Thank you.
Good.
So the angel numbers, as I awaken more and more and more, I come to realize that it seems to me, in my opinion, I would love others to jump in as well if you can share some insight.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that it's coming from the subconscious and it's more of a higher self number.
So I know nothing about angel numbers. I'm completely ignorant on this subject. So I am totally unqualified to answer anything about that. So if anyone else, and could you, and I'm also not super clear on what the question is. What's the question?
I'm really trying to discern exactly, and I really believe intuitively, I am understanding more. Like I had mentioned, as I awaken more, you embody my higher self. Being in congruence with the universe more and more and more.
Yeah.
The angel numbers have been extremely significant in my life the last 2 years, and it's just been rapid now as I'm merging more of my higher self.
Okay, great.
So it's an ongoing process. I mean, literally every single day. I mean, I could write a book about it if I wanted to.
Okay.
It's basically, and I ask when I pray to show me signs. And this is just another form of communication.
Sure.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is the nuances of if I'm working out and I'm doing a video and the timer is clicking backward 30 minutes and I go to take a break and I pause. And then when I come back and I see, you know, it's 16:16 or so than not, or, you know, it's 5:55. And especially on my oven, my microwave, my phone, okay. I'm watching YouTube, you know, I'm seeing recurring angel numbers, but I'm saying to myself, okay, there's a side where some people say there are angel numbers and the angels are sort of nudging you to look at those numbers. But I've come to know that I'm sort of doing it myself, especially if I'm looking at my phone, I'm the one looking at my phone and going through that proactive measure of doing that.
Right.
Or like I said, pausing a video and then seeing, you know, the same angel number consistently.
Uh-huh.
It seems as though it's tied into the higher self a little bit more so than just, let's say, your guardian angels or your spirit guides nudging you to see these numbers.
I see what you're saying. And again, I'm not an angel number. I don't know much about it. Awesome. Tanya a moment ago said in the chat, are you needing a website that have the meaning of each number, or is it about the meaning of it or just the timing of it that you're asking about?
Yeah. So when I do see these angel numbers, I do research on it and I'm aware and I look into it of what, you know, my higher self or angels, my spirit guides are trying to communicate to me. Mm-hmm. So thank you. But it just seems more like it's my higher self that I'm connected to that aspect subconsciously that is allowing me to see these numbers as opposed to guardian angels or archangels or spirit guides, in my opinion.
That's fine. I'm curious what you feel the significance is of one divine being versus a different one drawing your attention to the number. Why is that important?
It just seems that it is more of a proactive way as a than something that you just see on a license plate or something that you just glance at, something that you look at a clock, that it's a little bit more deeper than what people are really talking about.
Okay. All right. Charlotte just put in there, in my mind, it is all the same. It's all one. I think regarding the different divine beings, I guess where I'm a little fuzzy, Brian, and again, I'm not an expert. I always come back to when phenomena, I want to know, how is it helpful? Even if these are angelic numbers and they're being taught, how does that in any way help you to see them? Would be my curiosity. How does that make your life better somehow?
So when I pray and I ask for assistance or guidance in a particular sense, in a particular relationship, in a particular endeavor, mm-hmm. and then I'm getting that into my awakened reality. Mm-hmm. And then when I look up these angel numbers, it really resonates with what that means at that particular juncture.
Oh, so there's like the numbers are a code. And when you translate the code, it gives you helpful information regarding the issue you have.
Yes.
Oh, now it's so much more sensible to me. Okay. Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
I told you I'm real ignorant about this stuff. So, okay. So I can't tell you where they might be coming from. So I can't help you on that. Jeannie, yeah. Someone else here jump in because I'm out of my depth here. Someone else help Brian, please.
Okay. Well, I've used angel numbers and to me they're just the same as any other divination. It's like, why would I try to use the divine to help me decide something? Or why would I want to be open, which I hopefully am, to, you know, guidance from the divine? It's like, you know, that's, you know, I have to keep that in mind. It's like, what's important is that the divine is communicating with me and they have to use whatever metaphor we've set up for them. If we've set up a dream dictionary, then I've used many different dream dictionaries and it's like, they know that. They know which dream dictionary I'm using and they'll use that to give me that metaphor to help me with whatever life problem that is. So I see where you're coming from and I have two questions. First question, what does your intuition say? Is it either or, you know, what does your intuition say?
You're asking Brian, right?
Yes, I'm asking Brian.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I've come to know that when I first started seeing this in my awakened reality, the question was always, what are you thinking of right before you see these angel numbers? So now I'm seeing, okay, if I'm thinking about a specific person, or specific endeavor or a question that I have, now it's showing up in my awakened reality as confirmation to that.
So you ask a question and it's like really understandable that they're communicating with you and what exactly they're saying.
Yeah, and it just seems like it's so much more tied to the subconscious mind.
No, but your question, I think your question was, is it my higher self or is it my angels or the angels? Or, you know, is that the question?
It was the original question. Yeah.
So what do you think? I mean, no, I don't care what you think. What does your intuition say?
My intuition is telling me now, because, you know, when this first started occurring to me, this phenomenon, it was really interesting. So I said, well, maybe it is the angels and they're just trying to wake me up a little bit and steer me in a direction to look at a particular number at that particular time. But my intuition is telling me now that it's really linked to my subconscious mind. And it's a little bit more deeper than just the unseen realm steering me towards that direction, that it's really my intuition. It's my subconscious mind, my higher self that's linked to that, that is guiding me to whatever I'm asking.
So you're saying it is your higher self or it is your angels, or they're the same thing? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we are all one. So I believe it is all tied to the same. Yeah.
Well, I've always heard that, you know, when you study this stuff and you study this stuff and you supposedly go higher and higher levels and whatnot of understanding, that the agreement is of people who have done that is that it is, that all our guides and all our higher guides and angels are us. It's just our multidimensional selves that are that. And for me, the way I look at it is, okay, well, there's layers and layers and layers. I have this layer that's an etheric body and a mental body and an emotional body. And then I have each chakra has a layer outside the body, and the layer closest to the body is the first chakra. So if you just keep on going, then I don't know, chakra 26 is out by Pluto. And chakra 1000 is, you know, closer, a little bit closer to the central sun. And so I have all these layers. And so whenever I ask a question, I think the highest self that can answer it comes in. And it obviously knows what books I've been reading and what metaphor to use. Is she using a pendulum? Is she using a dowsing rod? Is she using oracle cards? Is she using angel numbers? And then they'll come up with a metaphor for me and I'll get it. And then I know, oh, okay, I know exactly what they're saying. And so our dreams are pretty typical. People who don't study, but the divine, their higher selves, will communicate with them through their dreams. So supposedly it's advanced, but I don't think it's particularly advanced to say that all my higher selves are my guide. So any guide that comes to me is some aspect of my higher self. And then, you know, then the problem comes and another question comes. It's like, well, how come when I have, you know, a avatar, a Buddha, when I know when Buddha's there and somebody else knows when Buddha's there. So is that Buddha their higher self and my Buddha my higher self? So I don't have an answer for that one. So, you know, I think it's my higher selves. I can't reconcile. Oh, you know, so if, you know, I know when it's like Jesus, it's like, or Yeshua, it's like golden and there's a whole entourage with them. And I know that's Jesus. And I know somebody else knows when it's Jesus for them. And so is it just an aspect of our higher selves? I don't know. Do you have an answer for me? Brian or anybody?
What you say really resonates with my soul. So, you know, I have come to know that, yeah, we're all one in that sense. So it is all tied in.
So is it Jesus, supposedly, you know, assuming he was alive and he's done everything, I believe, or is it one of my higher selves, or is it both?
Well, I'll jump in on that one. That I can talk.
Thank you.
My, you know, when I do our Awakening Plus events, I call in a whole ton of allies. And to me, usually they just become a blended field. All I know is I'm getting energy flowing from the field. And if I get an intuition, it comes from the field. And most of the time, I'm not getting it from an individuated consciousness. I've also had enough experiences, especially in ayahuasca ceremonies, where some divine being, Jesus or Archangel Michael or other beings have come and actually come into me and merged with me and for
a bit, absolutely. Yeah. Them,
okay. And they keep saying, hey, I was you, you were me all along. I'm just showing you. Okay. Because when the blending right. actually happens, it's, oh, wow, this feels kind of comfortable and strangely familiar, you know, once they clean me up enough that I can accommodate them. Right. I agree. It's all is one, as, Charlotte pointed out. And, you know, separation is an illusion. And at the same time, you have to work with the consciousness you're holding. And if you're still perceiving that this divine energy is a separate thing from you, then you have to work with it as if it is, because that's your relative experience. Once right. you become blended with it and you are it, then you are it. You don't have to play that game anymore. Yeah.
And in accordance with what you just said, I have some instructors in meditation classes where there's so many different beliefs, and people say, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that avatar, and I don't believe in this guide. And I'm not really into angels, you know. So what that individual does for us as a group is she just uses the word superconscious. Mm-hmm. Your superconscious is guiding you, is healing you. And then on the old days, she used to just say the energies. Mm-hmm. The energies are coming in, you know, for those of you that are sensitive and can feel them. And that way she doesn't have to differentiate, oh, these higher beings mm-hmm. are this name or that avatar or this angel. Then no one is particularly off put mm-hmm. because they don't know Hinduism and they don't know the names.
Yeah.
Some people get all upset because we call in names they don't know. Some people don't know who Lakshmi is, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I address that in the book, actually. Early in the book, I say, you know, I say, call your higher self, but what if you, you know, don't believe you have a hot, you know, you don't believe there's a higher self, or you're not comfortable that I'm a divine being? You say, well, call Jesus or call your guardian angel, you know? And then I put my joke in there, you know, it's like the old joke. I don't care what you call me. Just don't call me late for dinner. You know? And as far as
I have one thing to say about that is, oh, wait a minute. I lost it. Hang on. It seems like, you know, people who don't believe in certain, they don't believe in spirit in general, mm-hmm. or the divine is just not a name they want to hear. Mm-hmm. But if you ask them, I'm going to just say everybody believes that there's energy. They believe that there's this thing called energy. Mm-hmm. So they do, you know, they'll say, oh, I'm an atheist or whatever, but they believe in energy.
Well, yeah, unless you're going to deny all of physics, you know, some people do.
Deny that the light's on and that's energy to turn your light on, you know.
Yeah, these days we all get to pick our own truth, I guess. Yeah, but yeah, I agree with you. In my experience, the allies are not picky about what you call them. And, you know, I for a while I was into oneness blessing, which was from a place in India. They used to call it Oneness University. Now it's Ono Academy, but they said, hey, make the divine in your own image. They said, imagine God or the divine as the friendliest personality you can imagine and just hang out with it like a beer buddy and have a chat. And they really encouraged us to just act, you know, in our own minds, work with the divine as a close, you know, comfortable friend. You could just slap your arm around him or give him a hug. And they say, make the divine approachable. So the underlying theme is, you know, make the divine in your own image and it'll happily show up that way. They're not picky about how they're seen. You know, humans develop preferences, but I haven't ever experienced the divine as being super picky about that. Yeah. So however you want to think of it, it's there. In my experience, and they understand what a difficult, convoluted, illusory mess we have down here, and they're very accommodating, and they'll work with us whatever our illusions or misunderstandings are. They'll accommodate us the best they can, in my experience. Yeah.
I've got one more thing. Mm-hmm. Made me think of something else, is that if people are having trouble making a decision and you've been told, oh, make a list, you know, have a pause, you know, these are the positive outcomes of what you're asking, and this is the negative, and I've been told that, you know, you should sit down at the table with them and you should give a character. You should make each one a character.
Mm.
So, oh, this is for moving to Tennessee. This is not moving to Tennessee. And you create a character, a persona for each one. And you don't have to create it. They can just show up and you can notice.
Right.
And then you don't have to sit there until there's a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, thank you. You know, it's very important to be polite and say, thank you. I'm going to let you guys work it out.
Hmm.
And I'll check in with you later and you can check in with them tomorrow or whatever. And, you know, it's kind of like Tesla. He would be working on some, you know, he'd be working on like 10 different inventions, but he didn't know if he built them, if they would wear out and break. You know, he didn't have time for each one of those to figure that out. So he, in his imagination, he'd put a box and a box and a box and a box and a box. He'd put that invention there, and then, you know, each one had their own little box. And they would come back the next day and check on them and see how they were doing and see who was broken and who was okay. Wow,
amazing.
And he was a genius, and he just naturally did that. So,
cool. I'm flashing on one somewhat advanced use of internal family systems therapy, where you develop inner committees.
Yeah, I just
have parts that have certain superpowers and strengths, and you could, you know, develop a committee of your helpful parts and have them, like you say, hash out a problem and just listen to each of the personalities and what they say within you. Yeah, same idea, just kind of different, slightly different framing.
Yeah, we used to have a thing in NLP where you'd have a circle of all your archetypes, and you know, you have each one of the archetypes like in Tarot.
Yeah,
and you would call in certain ones and make a circle. Like for business, there were certain ones that would be good to call in, and you make a circle with each one of the archetypes, and then you spin your energies. And then you go on through your day and you have just done what you said earlier. You have merged with those archetypes and you know, or the people who do the universe jumping. There's another name for it besides universe jumping, but, you call in whatever multidimensional higher self of you that is good at doing your bills or your writing or, you know, cleaning the house, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Once again, I think we're getting into, there's a part that can help you, whether you perceive of it as some external divine being or an internal part or whatever, just call it. And chances are it'll say, okay, I get what they're going for. I'll show up and help them. I don't think that would be super particular. You didn't call me by the exact nomenclature I prefer. I'm going to shun you right now. You know, I think they tend to show up and be helpful.
I do think it's good though, that when you emphasize in the IFS, and anything else that is similar with parts, that you emphasize politeness. I think it sets up a certain atmosphere for agreement. That they're not superior to you, that you're co-creating with them.
Yeah.
And the politeness sort of makes sure that that's, you know, set up.
Yeah, I like it. Although I've noticed, as I've observed my own Mesa ritual, is that, you know, sometimes I request and sometimes I just command. You know, like I notice at the end of my own Mesa sitting, the very last thing I do before I close, I've just done a whole, I call it the kitchen sink invocation, where I just call in a whole bunch of stuff at once and raise grandfather to lock it in. And then when I feel like that's done, I just say, highest good be done. And just those four words. And that's really a command. And bet it works. And, but, you know, I'm in a very respectful frame. I'm not, you know, being bossy or, you know, just kind of a natural, okay, highest could be done now. Kind of like we did all this other stuff, now this too. I guess I could put a please on the end, but.
Well, I think that kind of thing happens the more and more you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And like with your invocations, you know, if you get to a point where you have a great understanding of it because you've been doing it for a very long time, maybe, you know, you don't, like you say in the instructions and on the website, you don't have to put the highest best part. Mm-hmm. If you understand that you always intend the highest best, then, you know, it's a command, maximum embodied awakening, and you expect it. And the whole point of doing any of that is that not to say the words, not to go through the motions and the steps. The whole point is to get to a certain state. Mm-hmm. And if you can just get there by just thinking, oh, I got to do the invocation, and boom, you're so used to doing the invocation, your muscle memory just does it for you. You know, and so I've had that happen where I was just thinking about, you know, doing the invocation, and boom, I'm in embodied awakening, and I didn't even say anything.
Yeah. And let me just make one small correction to what you just said. If I previously said something different, I'll have to correct it now. But I always say, you know, maximum whatever that serves highest good. I always do.
Okay, you say that part.
Yeah,
okay.
I do. That to me is essential, because if I just ask for maximum embodied awakening, that could invite overwhelm. Just say maximum whatever without any kind of modifier. I could actually get slammed with more than I can handle if I said those words. So I would at least put that serves highest good, and then
say, well, after you do it for a really long time, I got to where I don't have to put those on there. I thought you said we didn't have to put those on there after a time.
I had an early version of the book where an early draft, I said, I address it in the latest revision of the book that I just tweaked up to the people who are going to review it, where I said, if you feel like you are now so merged with divinity that you are constantly one, there is no perceived separation of ego and divine anymore, and you feel like it is spirit just giving the commands, I say, that's magnificent. And what I say there, just to be cautious, is say, if you feel like you can drop the karma-free safety clause and just command what you want with no modifier, I say, yes, free will allows you to do that, and be very, very certain that you are as awake as you think you are, because it is easy to believe you're at a certain level of awakening when you're really not. And if that's the case and you're dropping the karma-free clause, then you could create, you know, challenging circumstances for you and other people. So my advice is just, you know, there's no harm in just saying, to the greatest extent that serves highest good or highest can be done, you know, some kind of little modifier, you know.
Sometimes when I'm really deep and I say maximum embodied awakening, mm-hmm. I go so deep that I actually can't verbalize out loud, but mm-hmm. I'll like hear it.
Yeah, I mean, you can also invoke mentally. The words don't have to come out of your mouth.
I know, but I mean, I might be able to say maximum embodied awakening out loud, mm-hmm. but I get to the second part, it's like, I am so deep, I can't. I just hear it.
That's good. As long as you're adding it mentally. Y'all can do what you want. You know, I'm the boss, but I'm just giving my recommendation. I just am not comfortable suggesting to people they drop the safety clause. I just think there's no downside. It takes almost no time. And it's just safe. I mean, if a person was that deeply awakened and they knew it, then they would feel free to ignore my advice anyway. So at that point, you don't need anyone else's opinion to guide you. So I wrestled with that one a little bit in the book. So I decided to err on the side of caution.
I think that most people, 99% people need that. So yeah. It makes it feel better in the beginning, especially.
Yeah. And if you don't, then more power to you. Seriously.
Well, it's that a lot of the embodied awakening feeling is what I was. We didn't get a nice invocation. We were like commanded, you need to go help that person over there. And so you need to go into alpha. You need to go to alpha wave, you know, in your brain, meditative state, so you can do this energy clearing right now for this person who is in distress mm-hmm. in the group. And so I didn't have a nice little invocation to start. I was just, I was commanded, do this. And I did.
And who was, I'm sorry, who was commanding you?
Well, the group, the very, very first group I was ever in, ever.
Oh, okay.
And when you're a newbie and you're an innocent mm-hmm. and people tell you to do things, you can do stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can do.
Yeah. There's, I mean, I've yet to find a perfect group who, you know, we just do the best we can with what we have. And I've, in my early years, especially, I made plenty of just egregious errors and got hooked up with groups that were not all of the light and had to wean myself back out once I realized what was happening. So.
Well, there's always some good for me in that group. I mean, it might not have been the best group, but being told to do that and being able to do that, then I learned really quickly. You can go straight within, you know, a couple of seconds.
Mm, nice. Immediately. Well, that's super helpful.
You know, I mean, I think it's a lot more, there's a lot more learning if you train yourself with an invocation, because you get to feel all the different steps and all the, you know, you set a really great muscle memory and energetic memory.
Nice. Okay, I see we have some other folks who are wanting to, I see Charlotte is unmuted and Brian has his hand raised. Charlotte, was there something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was thinking about archetypes long before Jeannie mentioned it, and I'm continuing to mull it over in my mind. In my understanding, we include all our archetypes. We are all archetypes.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And so we always have all of the archetypes around us. I mean, in us or around us, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And so rather than calling on particular archetypes, just as your work seems to work very well for me, because just put it out there and the ones that can step to the plate will do so.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how I like to work. I said, you know, as I added a story at the end of my book where I was in this path that at some point had me doing a 150 step, 2 hour process, building things in the inner world and overlapping structures. And I just said, finally, I just got, you know, I can struggle through this. And I don't think awakening has to be this complicated. I said, I think we've gone over the edge here. And I just defaulted then to something super simple. And that's why my own inclination now, having done really complicated paths and very simple paths, I said, if easy gets it done, let's just strip it down to the absolute simplest thing that accomplishes the end. And that's my own bias now. And if I just call what I want, the right archetypes or energies or whatever will show up and they'll take care of it. I agree with you.
It works for me because I've never really felt comfortable calling on any interception, intermediaries between me and God.
Right.
And God being everything, including all the archetypes and all of the masters and all of the angels and archangels.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really need an intermediary.
Right. Can I speak to that?
Oh, please.
Because I there was a period also in my own spiritual path where I was just going straight to source and just ignoring everything except source. And it worked. And then, you know, I did more shamanic study where you work with particular instances of that. And it's all how you want to see it. You can see it all as just total unity. You can see it as the divine subdividing it out into different archetypes and energies. And I think for most people, it's helpful to have some degree of separation because, and it depends how awake they are. You know, a human who's not, you know, as deeply awakened as some, you know, they find it very challenging to relate to just nothingness, which is, you know, ultimate divinity. And that is not comfortable for their personality. So if they're at a certain level where I need something to relate to that I can imagine that has some kind of form, in that case, it's more helpful to relate the divine as a independent being of some kind.
Right.
When you awaken more deeply, as it sounds like you have, then you can evolve past the need for something tangible to relate to and just, you know, be or relate to just pure energy. And that's a higher level. And the reason I in my own work here still speak as if Benjamin is something different than the allies I'm working with, which I know is not true. Yeah. I do that for the sake of those who are on the calls who still feel more comfortable relating in that way. So I'm pretending a little bit.
Okay. I like spirit I am.
Yeah.
Spirit I am really works for me. I remember going through a very uncomfortable period of time when God was no longer that thing in that person in the sky, and is everything and all, and you know, it's like, well, who do I talk to? Who am I praying to?
Right, like, right.
So, you know, I remember that period of time where I went through all of that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Charlotte. Did you have any other questions or comments?
That's thank you.
Thank you. That's a beautiful contribution. Thank you. So, Brian, your hand's up. Unmute if you wish.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yep, totally.
Okay. Just going back to what Jeannie had referenced as far as the higher self connection, she mentioned the subconscious mind.
Right.
Well, I know that there's been some, I guess, two different sides in theory saying that the higher self is tied in to only the subconscious and not the superconscious. So does anybody have any insight on the higher self and how that ties into either the superconscious or the subconscious?
Hmm. Well, my initial response is the higher self can relate to whatever it wants to. as a being beyond 3D, it has access to whatever it needs in this level, as far as I'm concerned. So my own opinion is it can relate to any aspect of you that is helpful. But that's just my own knee-jerk response to the question. I'd be happy to have anyone else throw in their idea.
The Hawaiians talk about what Brian's talking about, and they have the three parts, you know, the superconscious, the conscious, and then the unconscious. And they have Hawaiian names for each part of that. And all their theories are, they're ancient Hawaiian theories, Ahuna. But boy, did they sure sound like modern psychology. It's just very interesting when you sit there and you listen and you break it down and you go, oh, okay. But yeah, there are different religions, disciplines, practices that do have certain what Brian's referring to, definitions, the three parts, the three selves, the three levels of mind. Mm-hmm. And then in modern psychology, you have that those levels develop as memories, and there's a memory bank one that is from conception to birth, and memory bank two, which is birth to, gosh, I don't know the age, I don't know, seven, I don't want to give misinformation, some age. And then memory bank three includes memory bank two, so it goes from birth but a little older. And because they know these three memory banks, there's some people who, when they do healings, they ask for healing in memory bank one, two, and three. And the person's unconscious understands this and will allow the allies or the energies, if you don't want to talk about allies, to those energies will come and heal. Whatever it is that person intended before the healing, you know, whatever the intention was.
Hmm. Interesting.
So there's all kinds of, I mean, it's endless. It's just endless.
To me, that might be valid, and to me, that just seems complicated.
I listen to that.
I would just ask, I want the healing of this, highest could be done, and to me, that level of detail, I would just leave to higher self and it would handle
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what the allies are good at. I mean, they're so much smarter than I am. Yeah, totally.
Cool. Thank you. Brian, was that a helpful answer? Okay. Awesome. Tanya typed a question. Tanya, would you be willing to actually speak? Because I just love it. I love to hear members' voices and see them. Are you willing to do that? Is that okay?
I can, but my house tends to get loud, so that's so. Forgive me.
Are you willing to turn your camera on too? Is that okay, or do you need to not do that?
I have too much going on around me.
That's
so
fine. Okay, so why don't you just speak your question?
Well, I have for a long time been trying to experience seeing or feeling the energy that I hear and hear about so much and people mm-hmm. getting to experience. Mm-hmm. And I just don't.
Right.
So do you have any suggestions on that?
When you say the energy, are you talking about your own divinity? Is what you're trying to feel?
No, just the energy moving around us, you know, like just, auras and
all right, you want
anything more like that. I don't experience it.
You're talking about empathic sensitivity, I think. Okay. Just being able to actually feel the subtle stuff beyond the physical realm, right?
Well, yes, but also being able to see auras anything like that, yeah.
Right. Feeling, in my experience, feeling and seeing are the same inner sense. Some people are more oriented to visual, some more to feeling, but it's all the same kind of sensitivity in there. So the simple answer is, when I've worked with people like that, typically they were still carrying a little more heavy energy than would allow them to have that sensitivity. And therefore, if you want to try the tools we offer here with the invocations for healing and awakening, and if you start doing our programs, our Zoom calls or our recorded things, you'll start having experience of calling in embodied awakening and the energy will fill you and we'll do healing stuff and you'll feel some of the heavy energy that's around you start to flush out. Okay. And I had the same experience as you. When I started, I couldn't feel anything. And it was only when I started doing serious shadow work and having the heavy stuff flush up and clear that I began to develop a little bit of sensitivity. So my belief is that if a person is insensitive to these subtle energies, it's because there's just still too much heavy energy in your field and it's blocking your awareness of it. And if you'll start doing any kind of process that deepens your awakening, which to me, the amplification of awakening and the flushing away of heavy energy are the same process. You can't do the one without the other. And as you begin flushing, you'll start noticing your sensitivity start to increase. I'll guarantee that will happen.
And how many years can this take?
Well, it depends on the person. You might get it after one round. I can't predict how long it will take for you. I know that our invocation system has worked very quickly for a lot of people, and I have had people tell me that their sensitivity increased pretty quickly. But I have no idea how much stuff you've got to clear or how well you're going to do the technique. All I can suggest is now that you're in the membership and you're in for a year, why don't you start doing the processes and see what happens?
Okay.
And remember, the key distinction we do here that's different from a lot of groups is we assign this to our higher self. So you're going to ask your higher self to awaken you. You're going to ask your higher self to flush off that heavy energy that's making you insensitive. And in fact, I would recommend that you start, have you by chance, you probably don't know about the book yet, okay, that I'm writing. If you want to join my launch team, there's a post on my homepage, astroshaman.com. Just join the launch team. You can download a free copy of this book I'm about to publish next week on Amazon. And it goes into great detail about exactly how to do this. Or you can buy it on Amazon when it's up next week, you know, whatever you want. But the basic idea is you can assign your higher self to do these things for you. And if I assume that till now you've been doing ego-based efforts to become more sensitive, you've been doing it through willpower and effort and kind of Tanya doing it for herself kind of vibe. Is that true?
No, not really. I mean, I receive Reiki.
Okay.
You know, on the regular, and I do yoga and I'm in therapy and, you know, I meditate and play with cards and study astrology and I do all this stuff.
Well, that's all good. What I recommend is try a custom invocation where the way that we do these things is you just call your higher self to do something for you specifically and you can invoke exactly what you want. So you can invoke maximum sensitivity to subtle energy that serves highest good, please. So you can do just that. That gets right to the point of what you want. And then after you say it, you just relax and become totally passive. And then your higher self will go to work doing whatever is needed for you to develop that sensitivity. So I would recommend that maximum energetic sensitivity that serves highest good would nail it. Okay. Just say that. And understand that you're saying it to your own higher self and then follow up completely passive and let it do it for you and see what happens. And try
that one more time.
Maximum energetic sensitivity that serves highest good, please.
All right. Thanks.
Try that. But the critical thing is you can stay completely passive afterward. Let it do it for you. And then see if a few rounds of that doesn't give you some kind of awareness of subtlety. That could help. So give it a shot and let me know what happens, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your question. Thanks for showing up. We really appreciate you being here, Tanya, and thanks for joining the membership.
Tanya, I put it in the chat for you.
Well, thank you, Charlotte.
Did I get it right?
You must have private messaged it because I can't see it. So,
oh, I got it for everyone.
I don't see it either.
Oh, I didn't. Oh. Oh, I didn't press.
Well, press send. Or hit the enter. I think hitting the enter key will send it over. There you go. Maximum energy sensitivity that serves us. Good, please. That'll do it. Yeah. So just do that, Charlotte. I'm sorry. Do that, Tanya. Forgive me. All right. Thank you. Any other questions or anything at all? Well, if not, we've gone about an hour, which is a pretty good duration. And I'm totally open to going a little longer if someone has a question, but if we're all questioned out, we can stop. So we'll leave a moment just in case anyone has anything further. I'm hearing the Jeopardy music. Boom, boom. Okay, I guess we're done. Okay, thank you all very much. I always love these Ask Us Anything calls. Thanks for everyone who showed up with your questions. Thanks for everyone who shared your wisdom. Appreciate all of you. I love how the group mind comes together to assist those who are here. And to those of you on the recording, thanks for hanging out, and I hope you've gained some helpful information too. All right, thank you all much.
Thank you, Benjamin.
My pleasure. Thank you for being here, Charlotte. So that's our last scheduled call for the month. Within the next 2-3 days, I'll have the October schedule up, and I'll pop you information when that's available. Okay, many blessings to one and all. Good night, and take care. If this hurricane that's coming through is coming anywhere near you, then of course be safe. Okay. All right. So I'll see you in a few days. Bye.